Well, the high point of corporate worship, hearing the Word of God read and the Word of God preached and the Word of God expounded, I believe this is the high point of the Christian's week. My life and your life together, to sit under the Word of God read, the Word of God taught, the Word of God preached. God does great things when His Word goes forth powerfully and faithfully and accurately. So let's turn with that mindset, as we are desirous to hear from God tonight. Turn in your Bible to 3 John, if you would, right near the end of the New Testament. We are working verse by verse through this, really the shortest little letter of the New Testament, the book of 3 John, written by the Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples. He is known as the Apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the longest living apostle, wrote this as one of the last books in the New Testament era, just before he wrote the book of Revelation. But in 3 John, I want to look at verse 8 tonight, and I want to preach on biblical missions, supporting those who go out for the sake of the name. This is really sort of continuing where we left off last week with sort of part one last week on biblical missions. Follow with me as I read the entire letter. It's only 15 verses, but listen to God's word as I read 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so, and he puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. God, will you take your word tonight and write it deep upon our hearts, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached clearly, that the call to repent and believe would come with Holy Spirit power, and that you would energize and remind and call us as your saved children to remember that we are missionaries, to either go or to send. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Imagine the young man. He's in his early 20s. He's from the country of Myanmar and from a very strict, you might even call an extremist, Buddhist home. He comes into contact with a man named Kim, whom you know and we've talked about much from the pulpit here. He comes into contact with Kim while Kim is doing missions work in the country of Myanmar. And they meet for a number of weeks to study the Bible and to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just last Sunday, I get an email from Kim, who said this young man professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greatly fearful, however, of how his very Buddhist parents will respond. They told him that as a young man, he has to stay in their home and be abide by their rules and their standards until he is 26 years old. And then he can go out and be on his own. Kim in his email said this: the young man wants to be baptized. He wants to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to live out his faith and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Kim has agreed to meet with him and to study the Word of God with him and to encourage him and to mentor him and to disciple him. This new believer who just came by to profession of faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, even just last Sunday. And church family, through your faithful giving, we are able to come alongside of Dr. Liam Kim in the country of Myanmar and help him in his gospel preaching work. Isn't that good news? What a great God who can save not just here in the United States of America, but around the world, even from an extreme Buddhist home. What a great God who has such a mighty gospel that this God is able to save and to transform. I believe that tonight we must be reminded that we should be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. We worship a global God. Our God is the global creator. He is the wise sustainer. He's worthy. God is the seeker. God is the savior. God is glorious. God is full of grace. There's more grace in God than there is sin in you. And he's willing and he's able to save any and all sinners who repent and they come to Jesus Christ alone. I think of the very clear command that Jesus gives to all of his followers for all time in Matthew 28. You know the words, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. This is a command from the Savior to all believers. If you're a believer in this room, it's a command for you and for me. Why missions? Why do we talk about missions? Why should we be concerned about missions? Why should I preach on missions? Here's why. Because missions is the very heart of God. It's the very heart of God. I mentioned this a little bit last week, but I want to reiterate just a couple of things here. I am firmly convinced reading the Bible that no one is more missions-minded than God. No one is more evangelistic than God. No one is more passionate. No one is more urgent in the saving of souls than God. For God is the seeker. God is the pursuer. God is the one who draws sinners to himself. The heartbeat of, I think, the whole Bible is missions. The Bible is a record. The Bible is the testimony. The Bible is a book where God brags about how he is in this wonderful work for his own glory in saving sinners to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, last week, we talked through many scriptures about why this is so. Why should we be involved with missions? Why should we preach on missions? Why is the Apostle John writing about missions in the book of 3 John? And why are we a missions-minded church, locally and globally? And we looked at a lot of scriptures from Chronicles to Psalms to Isaiah to Zechariah to Malachi. But let me just remind you of one psalm. Psalm 96. If you would turn there, I just want to bring this to your attention yet again, because I believe that the closer we come to understanding God's heart in missions, the more missions-minded we will become. Why is God so committed to missions? Here's why. Because God is so good, and he's so gracious. And he's so sovereign that he deserves to be worshipped by all nations. And he wants his name to be proclaimed. Look at Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, and his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. You say, okay, psalmist, I get it. Why? Why should we be concerned with missions? Well, because you've raised a lot of money. Because you love traveling abroad. No, that's not what he says. Verse 4, because great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And then we're called to ascribe glory and strength to God. And then verse 10, we are to say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Why is God so concerned about missions? Why should we be concerned about missions? It's because God's great works are worthy to be proclaimed from shore to shore, from continent to continent, across the world. God's glory must be made known. Maybe to summarize a little bit of what I mentioned last week, and even Psalm 96 right here, what is the big point of missions from God's perspective? It's this, that God's great ambition is for his name to be made great among the nations. That is God's great ambition. He wants his name, his glory, his fame, his works to be made known among the nations. Number two, God's great promise is that his name will be made great among the nations. He wants his name to be made great, and it will be made. I love the book of Malachi where God makes the promise that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, my name will be glorified among the nations, the prophet Malachi says. Third, God's great means of accomplishing this is that his gospel goes forth through his faithful messengers, like you and like me. God has made all of us, get this, missionaries. Wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever your vocation is, whatever season of life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a missionary. You are a missionary. This is part of the calling. This is part of the duty. This is part of your identity. We are to be missionaries. And I love how God's great glory is not just a wish, but it is something that will most certainly be accomplished. For the end of the Bible, Revelation 15 says, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are holy, for all the nations will come and they worship before you. I love that. All the nations are going to come, and they will worship our great God one day. I think of Revelation 7, where you've got that great vision of John in the book of Revelation, where he says, I saw every tribe and tongue and people and nation standing before the throne. Even Revelation 5 mentions it as well. And they are worshiping, and they are praising, and they are glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. It will happen. God will be glorified. He will be glorified. But when we talk about missions, we come to a section tonight where God in his matchless grace calls you and me into service. So that we can accomplish God's great work all by his grace, resulting in his glory. Look at 3 John in our text tonight. Now, I looked last week with you at verse 7, where John writes about sending them out on their way in a manner worthy of God. Verse 7, because they go out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Verse 8 tonight, therefore we ought to support such men so that we might be fellow workers with the truth. Now, I mentioned it last week and I just want to breeze by this, but let me summarize from these couple of verses. Five brief pointers about missions. They're really brief phrases. Number one, missions is about sending out. Missions is about sending out. And that's what John writes. You will do well to send them out on their way in a manner worthy of God. Missions is about sending out. Number two, missions is about proclaiming Christ. Yeah, feeding the poor, helping people, building homes, building shelters. All of these can be good and fine and noble and great, and they have their own place and purpose. But biblically, true missions must be energized by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I spent most of the sermon last week fleshing that out. Look at verse 7. They went out for the sake of the name. These are people in love with Christ. These are people who are proclaiming Christ. They're testifying to Christ. They're bearing the name of Christ. So mission is about sending out, proclaiming Christ. Third, it's about financial support as well. It's about financial support. It's about holding the rope while others go down and others serve. And we are there to hold the rope and to serve and to help and to minister and to provide for them so that they can do the work down into the trenches. That's what John says. They accept nothing from the Gentiles, so we ought to support such men. Fourth, missions is about working together. Working together. The Bible says that we are fellow workers with the truth in verse 8 right here. What an astounding thought that if we get there tonight, I'll preach it. If not, we'll continue it next week. What an astounding thought that we can be fellow workers with God in the preaching of the truth. What an amazing thought. Fifth, missions is about advancing the truth. It's about advancing the truth. We don't go into all the world and tell people that God simply loves them and has a great plan for their life. And they may need to make a decision, and we can just give them money and we can make their life better. And God wants them to be happy and healthy and wealthy and illness free. That's not our message. Our message is to advance the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. The goal is for the truth of God to travel. So missions comes from hearts where men and women are passionate, get this, for the glory of Christ. The more that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more missions minded you will become. And maybe if I can flip it, if I can say if you're not missions minded here, if missions is just kind of new and boring and why would I do that? Then I would encourage you to pray and to confess that to the Lord and say, God, give me more of your heart for the nations. Give me more of your heart for the lost. Show me how great your glory is and how you want your glory to be made known on the earth. No greater missionary has ever existed than God. We are committed to missions at Christ Fellowship Bible Church because we are committed to God and His glory. Now, last week, what we did is when we began in verses 7 and 8, I gave you three main aspects that we really can flesh out of global missions. I just gave you five by way of sort of an introduction, but let me just simplify it. In global missions, I want to give you three main aspects. I only looked at one last week with you. We only had the time to look at one. And that was this, sending out those who bear the name of Christ. Remember that last week in verse 7, we talked about how global missions, worldwide missions, is about first sending out those who bear the name of Christ. And this is really all that we looked at last week. And just by way of review, here's what we have in verse 7. They, that is these missionaries, they go out for the sake of the name. Notice the individuals. Notice the people. Notice the men. They are going out. And I talked about how the Greek word for going out right here in verse 7, they went out. It's often used in a technical sense with a missionary agenda. They're not just going out like from one house to another and from one place to another. They have a motivation. They have a goal. They have an ambition. They have a purpose. They have an evangelistic mission. Last week we talked about how there are many deceivers in 2 John verse 8 who have gone out into the world and we are not to receive them. They had a missionary mindset. They had an agenda, but it was not to spread the truth. It was to propagate error. But here, 3 John verse 7 says that they are going out. Here are missionaries who are going out with a zeal, a purpose, an agenda. And what's the mission? For the sake of the name. Much of the sermon focused on this little phrase last week. True missionary activity is driven by a love for Jesus Christ. True missionary work is strengthened by, it's launched by, it's energized by the Lord Jesus Christ, by a love for His gospel, for a love for His name, for a love for His worth, to magnify, to serve, to obey, to preach, to proclaim the name. We don't preach a name. We don't preach a gospel. We don't preach a way of salvation. We don't preach a God. We don't preach a Jesus. We preach the Jesus. Remember Acts 4 verse 12 when the Apostle Peter is preaching and he says, there is one name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. We preach the name of Christ. We go out in the name of Christ. And that's what John is saying. Here are missionaries who are going out with a zeal. They're going out with a passion. And their mission is, I am going out for one purpose. And that is for the cause of Christ. Now, those are the kind of missionaries we want to serve. That we want to link up with. That we want to send. That we want to support. These are missionaries who represent Christ. These are missionaries who proclaim Christ. These are missionaries who preach the exclusive salvation found in Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned last week, they don't preach the American Jesus. They don't preach the Mormon Jesus or the Jehovah's Witness Jesus. Why? Because that Jesus is not truly divine. A true missionary who preaches the biblical gospel that saves does not preach the Roman Catholic Jesus. Because I mentioned before that that Jesus can't actually save because he could never say it is finished on the cross. That's why they have the Mass every day. To continue the work of atonement for their sin. No, we preach Jesus Christ, that He came and He lived a perfect life, truly God, truly man, a righteous life, obedient to the law, something you and I could never do. And yet we preach this Jesus who was rejected by men. He was scorned by those whom He came to save. He was rejected. He was put on a Roman cross. And on that cross, what made it so bad was not the nails. It was not the crown of thorns. It was not the beatings. It was not the mocking. Is that he took infinite hell, what the Apostle Paul calls the curse. He became sin. Where all of the sin, the infinite mountains of sin that all of God's people have committed, was credited and placed upon Jesus Christ. And God the Father punished His Son, the Lord Jesus, on that cross. That's the only way that we could be pardoned and freed and delivered from the curse and the penalty of our sin. And through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of His obedience, all of His law keeping, all of His merits is reckoned, it's credited, it's imputed to your account. So that when God demands absolute perfection of you to go to heaven, you say, I'm worthy to go to heaven, not by my own works, but by the works of another. Why should God let you into heaven? He shouldn't. He shouldn't. But insofar as you have put your trust in Jesus Christ and you're clinging to Him and you're united to Him and you have surrendered to Him, He is your confidence and He's the one who earned eternal life for you. So these are the ones who go out for the sake of the name. That's important. It's not just a name. It's not just a salvation. It's not a gospel. It's the name of Christ. So we want to send out those who bear the name of Christ. I would love to go through all the ways in which the elders of Christ Fellowship serve and come alongside of missionaries around the world. And you got a sampling in the email here a couple of weeks ago from local missionaries to seminaries to those that are global. We praise God that we are committed to this gospel, and every single one that we commit to financially is holding on to this biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first aspect of global missions, number one, we must be sending out those who bear the name of Christ. Number two in your outline, and this is where we're going to pick up tonight in verse 8. Number two, biblical missions is about this. We must support those financially to do the task. We must support those financially to do the task. It was a number of months ago, I remember, I think it was even here in this building, or perhaps it was in the other church in Mount Calvary, we had a members' meeting. And we handed out a document that had maybe 30 or 40 ways that Christ Fellowship is involved in missions or outreach or evangelism or the proclamation of the gospel in some way, locally, around our city, around our nation, and around the world. And we have to stop typing at some point. There's more that could be written, but God is using this church in a great way to support those financially to do the task of missions. I think of the story in the 1700s, a man by the name of William Carey, who was on the way to go to the unknown world at that time of India. And he looked at a small little band of brothers around him, and he said this, "Look, I will go down into the well if you will hold the rope for me." Last week I was on a plane, I read a biography of a man named Andrew Fuller. Andrew Fuller was the one who held the rope for William Carey. Get this. Andrew Fuller was a man who knew hardship in life. He was married, and then he had 11 children. He buried 8 of them and his wife when she died. Fuller persevered in the midst of severe affliction and overwhelming responsibilities in his life and his ministry. And he, as a man in England, he longed for the unreached peoples around the world, and specifically in India, he longed for the unreached peoples to hear the gospel. And here's what distinguished Fuller so well. He championed the important, but often overlooked, the foundation of doctrinal clarity and theological precision. He said, we've got to have doctrinal clarity and theological precision. So the year was 1792, and the month was October, and the Baptist Missionary Society was formed in the home of Andrew Fuller. They didn't have a big building. They didn't have a flashy headquarters. It was just a small little house. And for 21 years, Andrew Fuller served as the leader of this organization by holding the rope so that William Carey could go down into the well and do missions work in India. Andrew Fuller raised funds. He wrote periodicals. He recruited missionaries. He sent personal letters to those who were on the front lines. But as Paul Washer often says, either way, whether you go down into the well or whether you're holding the rope, you're going to have scars. So the question is this, where are your scars? Yes, we need William Careys who will go far and wide, and they will do the mission's work, of course. But we also need the Andrew Fullers as well. We need some to go, and we need some to send. But every Christian is a missionary. Which are you? Most of us here in this room are called to send. There may be one, perhaps more, who are goers and they are financially supported. But we are to be committed to this wonderful task of missions. John Piper says it in missions, there's only three options. You either go, you send, or you're disobedient. And he's right. How can we support, verse 8, how can we support such men? What men? Those who are going out for the sake of the name so that we can be fellow workers with the truth. Well, there's so many ways that we can do it. Let me just give you a couple of brief ways. Number one, encouragement. Encouragement. I have more practical thoughts at the end, but just by way of mentioning it now, encouragement. To speak friendly and encouraging reminders. Notes and emails and phone calls, even with different apps nowadays, you can text missionaries around the world. You can encourage them. You can send them scriptures. You can send them videos. You can greet them. Number two, instruction. I just want to tell you, I rejoice in thinking of this little Christ Fellowship Bible Church that has sent men to the Philippines to teach pastors and to equip pastors so they can preach the word to their congregations. We've sent men to India, to Myanmar. We're discipling pastors in India. We have resources right now on our website that are being translated into Japanese and into languages in India for the spread and the discipling and the equipping of local congregations around the world. This little church family is able to instruct and come alongside of and teach the word of God faithfully to men and women around the world. For that we give great praise to God. Another way that we can support and encourage missionaries is by protecting them. I think of even times of pulling missionaries out of danger. I think of Saul, who was, remember that? He was let down in a basket through the wall of Damascus when there was those who wanted to kill him. We even need to support missionaries financially, even providing for their needs. But now, look with me at verse 7. 3 John, verse 7. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Well, John's like stating the obvious. No wonder. No wonder the non-believers, the unbelievers, the pagans aren't supporting financially the missions work. No wonder the non-believers aren't jumping on the bandwagon to serve and support the propagation of the gospel that they don't even believe. So non-believers aren't supporting this work. So what does John say in verse 8? Look carefully at the very first word. Therefore. So if they can't go supported by non-believers, if they can't just use the funds of unbelievers in the world, how are they going to go? Therefore, we ought to support such men. Notice that little word ought. The little word ought means it is our dutiful responsibility. It's our call. It's our command. It's our joy. It's our privilege. It's our responsibility to support them. Literally, to support means to come under them. To come under them and hold them up. To come under them and hold them up. You say, well, Jeff, there's so much that we could do. How am I supposed to do this? How am I, verse 8, supposed to apply this to my own life? Therefore, we ought to support such men. You say, Jeff, how do I do it? Well, number one, we support such men through giving to your local church. Your elders love talking about Christ Fellowship Bible Church to many people that may ask and say, we rent. We don't own a building. We don't have a big mortgage. We've got a pretty simple budget. We don't have a whole lot of things that are going on. Other than maybe some website and some bulletin and a pastor's salary. And other than that, much of it goes out to missions. And for that, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God. So one of the ways that you support such faithful men is through your faithful giving. Right here in Christ Fellowship Bible Church. We support men with financial provision. It means to provide practical help, to provide supplies for them. We support those who have gospel fidelity, theological precision. We support those, notice verse 8, and just I want to bring out one word. Therefore, we ought to support such. men. Do you see that there in verse 8? I was telling my children earlier, mission should never be sending the worst, the lazy, the inadequate, the unqualified to the mission field. Biblically, I think if we're to look at the book of Acts and look at the Word of God, really, we ought to send the most qualified people to do missions work. We ought to send such men out. We ought to support such men who are going out for the sake of the name. They are preachers. They are proclaimers. They know this gospel. They are telling this gospel. They're unashamed of this gospel. We are committed at Christ Fellowship to supporting those who are biblically qualified. They are fit for the work of service. And we support them even through prayer and encouragement. By the way, let me build on that for just a brief moment. That we as a local church, we could talk about giving financially. But I would imagine that if a missionary from North Korea, if a believer from China, from the persecuted areas of China, if someone from the Middle East who had come to faith and they were standing right here on this platform, they probably wouldn't say, you know what, our main need is your money. We don't need your money. They would probably say, we need your prayers. We need your prayer. And I want to take just a brief moment, as it says right here, that we ought to support such men. Yes, we do it financially. But church family, I want to drive home for just a minute the importance of supporting missionaries in prayer. That was the purpose that the leadership sent out that email a couple of weeks ago to you with that PDF document with all of those pages of the missionaries that we support and that we come alongside of, and that so that we can pray for them, so that we can seek God in prayer. Maybe one way to think of it, in no other way can you as a believer be as fully involved with God's work of missions than an intercessory prayer. Giving is good. Giving is important. Giving is essential. But don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Never underestimate the power of your prayer. Don't ignore the desire, the thought to pray for someone. Don't neglect the impulse when you have that thought that comes to your mind of a missionary or of a place or of a region or some place that you've been or something that you've heard about in the news and you think, I should pray for that. Do it. Take a brief moment and pray and seek God, because I believe this, that the providence of God is so great that God often uses our prayers. No, scratch that. God does use our prayers in the working out of His sovereign will. Never underestimate your prayer in praying for the persecuted regions of the world, in praying for our missionaries, whether they know it or whether they're not aware of your prayer. Be praying for them. I love the way one missionary said it. We can reach the world if we will, but the greatest need is prayer. Last week I was in California with some friends that I graduated seminary with, and one of them mentioned that there is a great need, get this, in the country of Egypt. Churches are thriving and flourishing because people are coming to faith, and the greatest need is for pastors to be trained, to study the Word of God, to interpret the Word of God rightly, to know biblical theology, to preach it powerfully, to shepherd the people of God, to develop biblical leaders upon the Word of God. In Egypt, what an amazing God. And in Lebanon, where there is such a need. And what is the cry? What is the desire? Pray for us. Pray that God would raise up leaders. Pray that God would raise up preachers. Pray that God would raise up those that would proclaim the gospel from the housetops in both Egypt and Lebanon. You know, there's no such thing as a closed country when it comes to prayer. There's no such thing as a closed country as far as prayer is concerned. Because much of the history of missions is the history of answered prayer. Missions is all about prayer. It's about support, yes. It's about encouragement, yes. But it's about prayer. So church family, as we gather and we pray on Wednesdays in the prayer meeting, as we pray on Sundays for those locally and those globally, you in your own family time, in your own private time during the week, pray for the Word of God to go forth with power. Pray for it to go forth with power. So church member, down to your knees and pray. Yes, give. Yes, we want to support financially. That is important. And know that we're committed to that. But after all, God does not, listen, He doesn't need our money. God is going to accomplish His work around the world, with or without us. We can't hinder, we can't thwart the plan and the purposes and the glory of God from being spread. But get this, in our faithful giving, He is glorified in it, and He uses our giving to support missionaries so that they can do the gospel proclaiming work, and His name and His glory is proclaimed around the world. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now the context of Luke chapter 8 is the Lord Jesus, who has given His great Sermon on the Mount in Luke chapter 6, and He's done a couple of healings in chapter 7. Well, now in Luke chapter 8, in verses 1 to 3, I think we have a couple of amazing verses that are very pertinent to what we're looking at here tonight. Luke chapter 8, just follow with me in verse 1. Soon afterward, Jesus began going around from one city and village to another. Now, what is He doing? He's proclaiming and He's preaching the kingdom of God. There's one thing that just saturated, it dripped, it oozed out of our Savior constantly, relentlessly. It was this. It was the preaching of the kingdom. It was the preaching of the gospel. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I'm the King, and your Savior, your Messiah, has come. Come to Me. Believe on Me. Trust in Me, and you will have eternal life. I love that. Jesus is going from city and village around the countryside in Israel, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom. Verse 1, the 12 were with Him. Verse 2, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Now notice this. There's nothing wrong with caring for people's bodies. See that right here in verse 2? People are healed, right? People are delivered from their sicknesses. Jesus did it miraculously. Certainly we can help others. We can pray for them. We can come alongside of them. But what's the priority? Verse 1, it's the preaching of the gospel. But with the preaching of the gospel, of course we can care for their needs, their bodily needs, and so on. Well, Mary, who was called Magdalene, was there, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and a woman named Susanna, and many others. Now notice this carefully. They were contributing to their support out of their own private means. You know, here's Jesus and His 12 disciples. Even in His earthly ministry, as He is going around and He is doing gospel work, what is He doing? He's preaching. He's healing. He's ministering the gospel and He's ministering to people's needs. And what is He doing? He's depending upon the contributions and the support of men and women who come alongside of Him, and they help Him and they provide for Him and they care for the needs of these missionaries. What a great example. It's a very good thing. It's a very noble thing that if God has not called you into full-time missions work, then He's called you into full-time sending work. Church family, may it be that God would be glorified in us and through us as a local church. that we would give, that we would give, that we would give, and that we would send, and we would send, and we would send. I think of even needs in my own mind right now. Dr. Kim in Myanmar, who there's a village, Mobi. Peter and I were there. We stood on the property. They want to have a gospel proclaiming school in a Buddhist village of Mobi. It would be the only, not only the only school where they would learn to read and write, but it would be a Christian school where the gospel would be proclaimed in a village where there is no church. 75,000 people in this village. What a need. And they've got the structure built, and there's a few more needs that they have. And here we are coming alongside of Kim and serving him and helping him and praying with him. What great opportunities we have to come alongside and to see God meet these needs. Just like Jesus in Luke chapter 8. He does the gospel work, and there were many others who were supporting out of their private means. And just a brief word of encouragement before we draw this to a close. You know, church family, there was an email that sent out. I've alluded to it a number of times. Maybe just an encouragement for you as an individual or as a family or maybe with your children, as a married couple. Take maybe one or two of these missionaries. One or two of these families. Whether it's a missionary from Myanmar or from India or the Philippines or Malawi in Africa or the country of Belize or Dorothy here in our own city or Madagascar, and you take one or you take others or others that you know, and maybe email them and say, you know, maybe you've never heard of me before, but here's my name. I want to introduce myself to you. I'm a part of this local church and we're praying for you. And then you stay in touch with them and you ask them perhaps when their birthdays are and their anniversary and then specific ways that you can be praying for them, and then you do it. And then you send a follow-up email and you ask and you follow up and you encourage them and you encourage these missionaries. It doesn't have to be a Christ Fellowship one. But if you don't know where to begin, that would be a good place to start. But to come alongside of these missionaries, to ask if they have any needs, and to pray with them, and to encourage them, to adopt them, and to love on them as they serve the Lord around the world. I came across a write-up this week from Randy Alcorn. Randy Alcorn just nails it when he said this: the greatest hindrance to our giving. And he said the greatest hindrance to our living more simply and giving more away is this. It's the illusion that this world is our home. I think he's right. The illusion that this world is our home. And quite honestly, I love how God just comes right out and he just boldly and unashamedly tells us why he gives us more money than we need. You say, well, I have much more than I need. Why does God do it? Not so I can indulge myself, and not so I can indulge my children, but so that I can give generously more away. And then God resupplies and God gives so that I can give more away. And then he supplies again. And that's the way God works. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 talk about that. So church family, we have talked tonight about the importance of sending out those who bear the name of Christ. Second of all, we talked about supporting those financially to do the task. Next week, we will look third at what it means to strive together for the truth of the gospel. What an astounding thought that God uses us to be fellow workers with the truth. May the truth of God spread and may it advance. After all, God made the promise in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11 that from the rising of the sun even to its setting, God said this: my name will be made great among the nations. Let's worship our great God and give thanks to him together. Our Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. God, it's good for us to put the brakes on from time to time and just go so slowly, word by word, even through your scripture that you've given. Every word, every letter is breathed out. It is true. It is right. It is sufficient without error. God, I want to thank you. We as a leadership team, thank you for this local church family. How generous, how faithful to give. Thank you, God, for the generous giving of these saints. We don't give just out of compulsion. We give because Jesus gave so much for us. And because he gave so much for us, all that we have belongs to him anyway. It's a great privilege to serve and to give as stewards your money away. So, Father, may we continue to be faithful. May the leaders be faithful. Would you raise up more missionaries, O God? We have prayed many, many times that even from our own midst, would you raise up more young boys, young girls, young men, young women, families, singles, married. God, that you would take them and use them, some as goers and others as senders. But either way, may we all grab a hold of and may we love the great calling to be missionaries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.